I'm going to start off first with a little bit more about me. Also, as a kid, I was really into personality tests. I've always wanted to know what it was about me that I couldn't really explain. I would take tests like the Myers-Briggs or the Big Five, and nothing really clicked a whole lot. But when I got to college, a friend of mine introduced me to a personality test called the Enneagram. Now, I'm not saying the Enneagram is perfect at all. In fact, I think it gets a lot of heat. And, you know, it's not, I think maybe for good reason in some ways. But you don't need to know much about this quiz to help me, or this personality test, to understand what I'm trying to get at. Really, the main focus of the Enneagram is that there's 9 different kinds of people who are made up of a core longing. They have something inside their heart that, that they crave more than anything. Than anything else. It drives everything else. So one wants to be wanted, to be loved. Another wants to be valued and appreciated. One wants peace more than anything. And that's really the point of what we're going to be talking about tonight. That our souls have desires that are deeper than what we can explain. We all want these things. We want to be loved, to be valued, to have peace. And really, anywhere else in the world, we can look and we will not find it. It cannot be filled on our own. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And that is the answer to our very heart's longings and desires. We're in a series at 180 called on the I Am statements of Jesus. There are 7 of them in the Gospel of John, or the book of John. That's where we're going to be at tonight. So if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 6. And really, while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. Jesus, in these I Am statements, says 3 primary things every time. He's saying these statements because he wants us to know who he is, what God is like, and how we can get to know him. Tonight, we're looking at I Am the Bread of Life. And for those who are taking notes, I'm going to give you a huge hint, our big idea. Here it is. It is only Jesus satisfies the hungers of our souls. And I'm going to give you our 3 main points so you can track pretty easily. 1, we have to understand that Jesus is the bread of life. We first have to notice our hunger. Next, we need to know that all other food spoils. And lastly, we need to turn to Jesus, who is the ultimate satisfaction. I'm super excited about tonight. I love this passage. When I got the chance to talk about this, I'm just so excited to share with you guys what God's shown me about who he is through this passage. And so we're in John 6. Is everybody there? We're good? Awesome. If you don't know how to turn to John 6 in your Bible, you can look to a friend and ask them to turn there with you. In John 6, Jesus has just got done feeding the 5,000. It was miraculous. He only had a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread, and he did a miracle and was able to feed more people than you could ever imagine. And so we pick up in verse 26, and the crowd that he had just fed has actually started to follow him. And this is what Jesus says to them. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you want your fill of loaves." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that you're just hungry. You want me to feed you again. There is something more here. There is something more here. And look, I get it. We can have physical hunger, and we can notice that all day long. But there's also a spiritual hunger that Jesus wanted to get at. Their hunger was deeper. As I was trying to think of examples where I had this hunger that I didn't really notice, I actually thought of my high school boyfriend. And so I'm gonna show you guys something pretty vulnerable, okay? I'm gonna show you my senior year prom picture. So you can visualize who I'm talking about. You have to be nice, all right? Okay, you guys are gonna be nice to me? Okay, cool. So the kid that I dated my senior year, I called him Nerdy Boy. And so I'm just gonna nickname him that. And so this is me and him, senior year. And so my senior year, I had never dated anyone before, and I had noticed everyone else in my high school had boyfriends, or maybe several relationships. And I was like, man, I want that. That sounds really fun. And this kid, Nerdy Boy, was in one of my history classes, and I was like, you know what? I think I could get him to date me. You know, I'm a hustler at heart. What can I say? And so we dated, and it was fun. It was good. And it wasn't until after my senior year, when I ended up breaking things off with Nerdy Boy here, that I realized what I was trying to satisfy within dating this dude, he would not be able to satisfy. That I was actually searching for something that he could not give. Something was missing. I looked to this guy to satisfy something only Jesus could meet. And it wasn't a physical hunger. He bought me a lot of Chipotle, and I really liked that. But there's still a spiritual hunger that a boyfriend or grades or anything else couldn't satisfy. And so first we need to acknowledge our spiritual hunger. Then we need to know that all other food spoils. Jesus continues in the next verse. So we just read verse 26. We're going to look at verse 27. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." Do not look for the food that perishes, but the food that endures for eternal life. When Jesus is saying this, when we think of the word perish, it feels like a churchy word, but we actually do use this word. If you think about a food bank, you think of like non-perishable goods. It's the ones that stay in the kitchen or in your cupboard, and they're never going to go bad. It's sort of creepy, but I do love SpaghettiOs, so I'm not going to knock it. But if we perish, that would mean it spoils, it goes bad, it rots. Jesus is calling himself the bread of life and everything else rotten food. He says, don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life. And then you have to ask yourself, what is eternal life? And why would Jesus talk about this? Isn't eternal life just, I get to go to heaven when I die? Or going up in the clouds and singing with lots of angels, or escaping the wrath of a really angry, terrible God? Well, some of those things, they're true, that we could spend forever in heaven. But Jesus is speaking about a deeper reality than just when we die. He is saying that he himself is the source of life. And don't just believe me, look at the scriptures. John 17:3, Jesus makes it incredibly clear. He says, "This is eternal life." All right, we got a definition here. "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So what is eternal life? It is knowing Jesus. Guys, this could get me fired up, because if we just believe that eternal life is for later, then why does Jesus change my life right now? Why would I live any differently? This passage begs us to say, I need to know that I have a hunger that's deeper than a physical hunger, a spiritual hunger, and I need to know that all other food will not satisfy. I have to look to Jesus. The crowds, they came searching for physical food, but they needed a spiritual food. The crowds came for looking for physical food. They needed spiritual food that lasted forever. So our response is to turn to Jesus who satisfies. This passage is so deep, so great. I don't have enough time to do all that this passage. You got to read all of John chapter 6 and then read it again and read it again and read it again. I would recommend even highlighting every time Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," and see what he says about that. But we're going to look at this time in verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes shall never thirst." Okay, never hunger and never thirst. Think about those longings that the Enneagram could teach us about. One person, Jesus is saying that a longing is met within knowing him. Remember? Because eternal life is just knowing Jesus. All of our longings will be satisfied in him. So for the person who wants to be loved, who desperately wants it and wants to experience it at the core of their being, Jesus says, "I loved you before the world began, before you messed up, and after I already knew you would." For the person who really wants to be valued, Jesus says, "Your worth is secure in me. You don't have to prove a thing. I already value you." For the person who really craves peace, they feel so much unrest, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." 2 Peter 1:3 says that all that we need for life and godliness is found in Jesus and his promises. I would recommend looking into that verse as well. But here's the thing. What we can often do with Jesus is we can treat him like three different kinds of Jesus. So follow me. There's the not enough Jesus. It's the Jesus who the crowd saw. They said, "You're not what we want. We just want you to give us food. We don't want all this spiritual jargon." So they walked away. Then there's vending machine Jesus. There's people who say, "I want your miracles. I want you to get me to heaven when I die. I want you to make me feel like I'm a good person. But I don't need anything else. You give me what I want when I want it, and then I'll go." But what Jesus says in this passage is he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of me will have eternal life." He is begging us to turn to him as the only one who satisfies. I'm so glad that Jesus isn't just saying what doesn't work. He also says what does work. He is offering himself. Surely Jesus knew what he was doing when he called himself the bread of life. He was like a big-time nerd. The best kind of nerdy boy you could get, if you will. He knew his Bible front to back. Look at what Isaiah 55 has to say. It's Jesus was definitely thinking about this when he said he's the bread of life. He says, in Isaiah it says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, and eat." Listen to this. "Why do you spend your money on what that's not bread? And why do you labor for what does not satisfy? Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." That's Jesus. He is the feast, and he is offering his very self, the bread of eternal life. Don't look to other sources to fill your very heart's longings. All of them can be found within Jesus. But here's the deal. You will not come to Jesus if you don't realize that you are desperately spiritually hungry. I really loved what Logan said. You set me up really good, dude. You will not come if you don't know you're hungry. You won't stay if you don't know that all other food will perish. What we must do is turn to him and trust him that we will be satisfied in him. So what did the crowds have to say about this? They heard all of these things that Jesus had said, and one by one they started turning back. It says even, in verse 60, it even says that the disciples said, this is really hard to understand and really hard to grasp. It's true. It is. And then and even in verse 66, it says some people, even the people who most closely followed Jesus, they turned back. They no longer followed him. And here are some of my favorite words in scripture. Man, it just speaks to my heart. Let's look at verse 67 and following. Jesus said to the 12, you want to leave too? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else would we go? Only you, Jesus. This ought to be our response. Really, I think that there are only two kinds of people in this room. I know that's pretty bold, but I think there's only two kinds of people in this room. I think there's the person who has never trusted Christ ever before, who's never turned to Jesus to satisfy their very longings. And if that's you tonight, you have the opportunity to do so. Big news. All you have to do to believe this simple truth is this. Understand that God made you to know him. That sin is anything that we do looking for life outside of Jesus, outside of God. Where we go and we try to say, does this satisfy? Does this satisfy? That is sin. But Jesus lived the perfect life, only looking to the Father for the satisfaction he needed, died the death that we deserved, and resurrected to prove that you can too. All we must do is turn and believe. So the second kind of person, I think it's the person who would say, yeah, I've placed my trust in Christ. But the response is still the same, regardless of if you've trusted Christ before or you're trusting you've never before. It's the same whether you have or you haven't. Yeah, let's say that. And here it is. Every single day, I turn from other things, even though I would say I'm a Christian and have been a Christian for a fair amount of years now. I look to other sources when I have the source of eternal life. And so, our response ought to be that of Peter's. We ought to say again, Jesus, I'm turning back to you. Where else would I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We are meant to believe and know that he is the Holy One of God. He invites us to feast on him every single day because he's the bread of life. All we need to do is sit and eat with him to satisfy our very heart's longings. Yeah. So, can I close us in prayer? Lord Jesus, we confess that we often run to food that spoils, that we chase after things that can never truly satisfy. Tonight we remember that, yeah, where else can we go? That you alone have the words of eternal life. Thank you for offering yourself as the bread of life. Teach us to come to you every single day, over and over again, to feast on you, the only one who satisfies. We love you, God. We want to love you more.